All right, let's get started. That was me calling to order. Let's do roll call, starting with Nikki.
Villanueva present.
Kerfman present.
Thoman here.
Lewis present.
Wagner here.
Beck present.
Russell present.
And any public discussion for anything not on the agenda seems like we're good. Starting with certificates of appropriateness with 521 Clark Street.
Thank you. Ann Russett, Neighborhood and Development Services. Sorry. Is that Sherry? Sorry, hang on. Okay, so this is a certificate of appropriateness for the property at 521 Clark Street in the Clark Street Conservation District. Here's a location map of the property. We have a few photographs. This is the front facade. This is a four square with craftsman and prairie style influences. It was built around 1910 and 1920. This is the west or rear facade of the home. This shows the attached garage that's at the northern facade where they're proposing some modifications. And then this is the south facade where there's no changes proposed. I just wanted to use these next two images to explain or describe what the owners are proposing for their property. So this is the existing conditions here. This is the partially enclosed porch. You can see the attached garage in this location here. And they're proposing to demolish this enclosed porch, add a new addition, and then on the inside of this garage here, they're going to have a new laundry room. This image here shows more details of their changes. So they're going to locate the door to the laundry room in this location here. They're adding, this is the addition with the cedar shake siding, the windows on the northern portion match the historic windows with the divided light pattern. They're proposing to, on this northern facade with the garage, they would like some natural light into the laundry room. So they're going to move the existing windows up. Let's see. So you can see they're down here. And they would be moved up to allow some natural light into that laundry room. They would also like to replace this existing window, which we'll talk about in a little bit more. And they would like picture windows with no divided light pattern in this location here, which we'll also discuss a little bit more. Here are the elevations. This is the rear facade with you can see the door and then those picture windows here. This is the northern facade with the attached garage. Again, the windows would be moved up. The area with the existing opening would be cedar shake siding. The foundation would match the existing home. And here's just kind of a interior layout. There are several guidelines that relate to this project, and I'd just like to highlight a few. The guidelines do recommend for windows, preserving historic windows, retaining historic windows, replacing badly deteriorated sashes where they exist, adding windows that match the type and style, adding new windows with a consistent window pattern, and then replacing ones that are badly deteriorated. In terms of relocation and closing window openings, if an opening is to be relocated, it should not detract from the overall fenestration pattern. In terms of expansion of the building footprint, which would apply to the addition, kind of matching those key horizontal lines is important. Adding a foundation that appears similar to the existing foundation, siding that matches the existing. And then there are some exceptions for windows in this section of the guidelines. And the guidelines do allow modern window types. They may be used in additions, provided that the overall proportions are comparable to those of the historic building, and they have a similar divided light pattern. And then lastly, removing additions that are not historic. In terms of our analysis, we've found that most of this project is consistent with the guidelines. They're going to demolish that enclosed porch or partially enclosed porch, and that aligns with the guidelines since the porch was partially enclosed and altered. The siding matches the existing cedar shake siding. The north-facing windows in the addition match the divided light pattern of the historic windows. The new door would be wood or fiberglass. Again, the foundation would match the foundation of the home, and all trim, including the crown molding, would match the existing. There are a couple items that we wanted to just spend a little bit more time on with the commission. The first is related to these northern windows in the garage, the ones that they are proposing to move up. We have no issue with them moving the windows up because again, if you remember that guideline, as long as it doesn't detract from the window patterning, it's fine. And they will align with the windows on the header height would match the header height of the windows on the home. They are proposing to replace this window here, and the applicant may have some more information on deterioration of this window that they might share tonight. We asked for a little bit more detail on that, but the guidelines do recommend retaining historic windows unless they're badly deteriorated. And then on the west, this is the rear yard again. They're requesting a fixed window in this location, which can be supported by the guidelines through an exception. But the exception does state that the divided light pattern should match the rest of the home. They are requesting no divided light pattern to allow for unobstructed views of their backyard. And they provided a number of photographs in your packet. They have a real interest in documenting the nature in their backyard, from birds to other wildlife. And with the divided light pattern, it would make that more challenging for them. Here's the recommended motion. Recommending approval, and I think if the commission would like to recommend approval of keeping those picture windows open without that divided light pattern, there is an option to approve that through an exception of an uncommon situation if the commission feels like the intent of the guidelines are still met. Again, I just wanted to note, this is a conservation district. This is the rear of the home. If the commission thinks that an uncommon situation exists, you would need to recognize that in your motion. So I'll turn it back to the chair.
Yep, I am that person, it turns out. What's next? Questions for staff? I did have one question. This is Lewis speaking. I think we need to remember to do that, and I keep forgetting. In the packet, I think there was a reference to a more specific section about an exception that could work. Section 3 point something, and I'm forgetting right now.
Yeah, that's the uncommon situation section.
It's just it wasn't that there was like a proposed exception. It was that just
it was the general exceptions, gotcha. Yes.
Sounds good.
Villanueva, I guess what kind of uncommon exception? Have we made uncommon exceptions before? And I guess what does that look like?
We've made some, like if somehow the property doesn't allow them to follow the guidelines, maybe it's a super small lot or... you know, one of the examples I like to think about actually is the house next to Deluxe, and, you know, Summit Street doesn't allow attached garages, but that lot just did not allow for a detached garage and they wanted to expand it. So the uncommon situation happened to be related to the size of the lot and the configuration of the lot to allow that attached garage. So that's the kind of thing. That section 3.2 talks about different types of exceptions. Some of them that are already recognized in each section, that's one type. Another type is when the guidelines are silent or unclear about a certain thing. And then I think the third one is the uncommon situations.
And I can just read from the guidelines here. It says this is under the uncommon situation section. It says the intent in considering alternative designs is to allow architectural flexibility in exceptional circumstances such as non-compliant structures, irregular lots, and projects which satisfy the intent of the guidelines as interpreted by the commission.
I have a couple of questions. This is Thoman. I can't quite remember conservation district versus historic district. Are the guidelines different for conservation
district? Some of the exceptions are different for conservation districts.
Okay.
Also, in conservation districts, we don't regulate roofs and we don't regulate front doors. So those are some differences.
That's what I'm thinking. And then also, Jessica, this one might be for you. I have an enclosed porch on my house that is, I'm fairly certain, original to the home. And it has windows that swing in up on hinges and they hook up. Do we see any kind of windows made like that that are replacements for old homes today?
No, not really. I mean, you're not going to get a product like that from a window manufacturer. I mean, you could have something made, custom made, but that's... And yours might be actually some form of a storm window, it sounds like to me, even, you
know. Yeah, there are some with screens then on the outside.
Yeah, it still might just be a storm window if it opens in that way.
Okay.
You might have what we technically call a partially enclosed porch rather than a...
It was a sleeping porch.
Yeah, so.
And I don't know if we... if there are any types of windows that we would approve that open like a modern window does.
Well, part of this exception is, you know, they could do a fixed window. Some historic houses have a big cottage window in the front that is fixed. It doesn't operate. It usually is divided somewhere, you know, about a quarter of the way down or something like that. So sometimes historically there's fixed windows. In you don't get into windows like casement windows that swing out like a door until about the 1930s or sometimes a Tudor revival or something like that. Maybe a Craftsman sometimes, but that's considered for our purposes a modern window type because they rarely... Occasionally they did, but rarely had a casement window on historic houses. There is a brick on College and Governor that has a big sleeping porch sunroom up on the top floor in the back, and it has casement windows, and they're historic. But again, that's kind of like a porch situation.
Okay.
So the exceptional will allow things like a fixed window or a casement window or something like that.
Okay. I was just trying to think creatively about a way to get the divided lights out of the way when you don't want them to get in the way of your view and put them back when you're done. But yeah.
Well, and, you know, casement windows can open full 90 degrees, but most of them will open like 60 degrees or something like that in the normal functioning.
Okay.
In the, sorry, Lewis speaking again, in the packet you... And you just mentioned it, that sometimes we do have larger windows without divided light. Can you go into more detail about that? Like, why do we allow that sometimes? Why does that happen or what?
No, I was talking about historically, you know, on some, like, let's say a Queen Anne Victorian, you might have a cottage window that is the first floor front window of the house, and it's super large.
Right.
And it doesn't operate usually because it is so large.
Sure.
It does have... some divided condition usually, partly just because that piece of glass was difficult for them then. The bigger the glass, the more expensive it was and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So it's not that there's a modern one. It's that there are some historic examples in certain types of house architecture.
That are just there. We wouldn't, if we wouldn't suggest, like, making, instead of having two windows, having one big one that has maybe a little bit more something along the lines of this larger window, and then we wouldn't have to worry about the divided light pattern? Or is that a... Does that make sense as a question, I guess?
I don't know if you're suggesting replacing, like, maybe a pair of windows with one larger window? Is that what... So the guidelines would also have the windows match the size of the other windows. And so, you know, for example, this house has on the front facade a small horizontal window. Usually they're found in dining rooms. I don't know where this one is, but they usually have like a plate rail under them, and then they have longer windows on each side. But this house doesn't have, say, the large window that a Queen Anne would have.
So if it's not one guideline, it'll be another guideline, basically.
Basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
The only issue here is the divided light configuration.
Right. Okie doke.
Villanueva speaking. That current enclosed porch... It's not original to the house. It doesn't look like it, or is it?
It is original to the house. Okay. I think this house has been a little hard to research.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure that the garage is an addition. It might have been original, too.
Interesting.
Just like the little bump out. The Sanborn maps don't show... No, they do. That's where the confusion came in. They show all of it in the earliest map for that area, but that was still 10 to 15 years after it was built. So they could have added those things, but it was an open porch, and it's just been what we call partially enclosed with storm windows and stuff like that.
Any other questions for staff? Okie doke. Do the owners or contractor like to say something?
Do a motion first or not?
I think we do this first and then motion.
Yeah, this first.
Right. How dare you?
Hi there. I'm Andy Martin. I'm the contractor on the project. The homeowners are here as well. In terms of the uncommon situation on the back two windows, the first point I'd like to make is that there is no alley between Clark Street and Summit. So the only people that would really see those windows at all are possibly the three neighbors on Summit. It's not a street-facing thing at all, or even just public right away. So, and that's assuming that the foliage is down and the angles are right. So it's a pretty hidden spot back there. Which contributes to the amount of wildlife they have back there. It's kind of a little, almost a courtyard feel to it back there. And the homeowners are citizen scientists, right? So they do bird counting for ornithology labs, and they're also professional photographers. So it's, you know, it's not just a, gee, it'd be a nice view. It's, you know, they have several interests and, I won't say hobbies because they're professionals, but, you know, concerns with this, right? So it would be very good for them, you know, for their enjoyment of their home to be able to have those windows. And the second one is a situation that unfortunately we didn't get in time in the packet, but the original concept for that, those side windows on the garage was to have them be smaller windows. And we were told that we couldn't do that because, you know, you got to retain the dimensions. And it wasn't until we were looking at it the other day that we realized that this house in particular has several smaller windows on it. So one possible thing they would like to add to that is that if they could have those windows instead of being full double hungs, if they could be half-sized, that would be useful for them as well because it would help with their interior space. And I don't think it would really particularly detract from the architectural appropriateness of it simply because there are, you know, I have a couple of pictures here, but you have them in your packet too, or the equivalent pictures. You know, there's like four or five different small house windows on the front of the house. And those windows haven't opened since at least 1989 when they moved in. So if we were to just take the top pane of that old window even and use that as a fixed window, that would help with their, they would appreciate that, you know, because they're not planning on necessarily, particularly in the garage, opening that window. But it would help them in terms of their interior spacing. So those are the two issues that we would love it if you could address, and particularly those back windows, I think is a major priority for them, just in how they would like to be able to use it. So,
thank you.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah.
I am curious, if you went with smaller windows on the side of that garage, would they still have the same alignment up top?
Up top, yeah. Okay. That's the idea. They'd have the alignment. So it would be a lot like there's this one window here, which is okay. Right next to the garage, actually. It's on the house side of the garage. So it would be kind of those, all three of those windows would be very similar in size then.
Okay.
And
yeah, my question would be about that, but for you, would that meet the guidelines still that we would have? Would it not, what does it detract from fenestration patterns or something like that?
Sorry to spring this one on you too. We just,
yeah, I think Jessica probably has thoughts on this, but I think one of the guidelines is to retain the historic windows. Yeah. And so in this scenario, they'd be replacing both of those historic windows on the northern side.
Yeah,
I think we can have a discussion on if they match the some of the other windows on the home, but they would be removing those historic windows.
Yeah, it would be possibly an option too. And I haven't even talked to them about this, but it would be a possibility that we could just take that top sash and make a fixed window out of it, which would be very similar to what they have there. Sorry, this is off the cuff. I understand that.
Okay. Any questions? I don't know. Or a motion from us, I think?
To the homeowners?
Yeah. Do you guys want to speak in addition to?
Yeah, you'd stand up and sign in.
And please state your name.
Gregory Covacini, and this is my wife, Jane Lehan Covacini. Don't have really a lot to add. The idea of the consistent back window is really because we really have a backyard paradise. It's pretty phenomenal. And as a city boy, I didn't have more than 5 birds. And now we're getting, last count was 66. And that's pretty magic. And I think it is consistent with the use that we want to have, and that what Jane would be consistent with all of the work she's done on the gardening over the decades now, 33 plus decades, to attract all this wildlife. We get a lot of the same visitors same time of the year, and we have some throughout the winter. And it's just, it would help a lot for the whole tenor of that space. That's pretty metaphysical, but sorry.
Thank you.
Jay says the date of the house is 1923. Mm-hmm. When it was finished. And I won't tell you this story because it's a 20-minute story, but we had the great pleasure to, at one early point on, I don't know, 91, 92 something, when I was going to yard sales, mostly to visit friends that I'd run into, we met a woman who turned out to be the daughter of the man who built the house. And we invited her over to our house, her house, and she gave us a tour of her house when she was living there, even up to the point where she showed us a hole in the wall that had been patched. It says, I kicked that when I got mad.
Thank you.
I had the pleasure of meeting someone from the family, and they visited a couple times, and then when she passed, they came from Colorado, and we gave them a tour of the house again. So.
Thanks. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Villanueva moves to approve a certificate of appropriateness for the project at 521 Clark Street with the following conditions. The west-facing windows are revised to include mutton bars matching the windows on the house, and both north-facing garage windows are retained unless evidence of deterioration is discovered. If the commission wishes to approve any, or...
You'd just stop cool. there.
Thank you.
Cool.
You'd Wagner it. Seconds.
All right. Commission discussion.
Concerning the north-facing garage, if they are actually wanting to change the windows to something smaller, I would almost just recommend going back to you guys and working and then coming back with another proposal, because I feel like, I don't know, do we have enough information to really weigh in on that if they're wanting to make it smaller?
I agree with you, Nikki. It seems like that's a pretty significant change. I would want to see dimensions and some drawings to see how that would look. I'm sorry about that piece. I don't know if anybody else has comment on that.
I mean, it feels like I would be amenable to that, but yeah, upon staff analysis of that before we would make a decision, I think makes sense to me.
And this is Thoman again. As for the backyard windows, I am really torn because I love beauty. I appreciate nature. I think I can tell that you two have been good stewards of the home. I also find beauty in craftsmanship and detail, and there's so much of that with your house. And I keep thinking, too, about bird blinds and how with those, when you're sitting in them, taking photographs, having great lenses, you don't have a big opening, but it still works. I don't know. I'm really torn.
Yeah, this is Beck. I'm quite sympathetic to your point of view here, but in this case, just given how few people will actually see those windows, I'm leaning toward the exception instead.
Yeah, it was helpful to hear from Mr. Martin about how very few people can see the backyard. And I think, too, about this is a lifestyle choice, being able to view what's in the backyard. So that's something I'm thinking about as well.
Could you go back to the picture of that?
This one or?
Well, sure. So actually, I agree that it would be nice to have, Wagner speaking, to have the match, however, the sizing of the windows works. So it doesn't look like a giant picture window back there. And I suppose 25 years from now, if somebody says, hey, I want those to be double hungs, you don't have to change the framing. You just change the sashes and make it match the house if someone were so inclined. But the fact that they line up the headers and the sizing doesn't, I think we could make an exception for that.
Yeah, I think as a commission, this is Thoman again, we've seen other plans that have been very obtrusive and stripped away, all historic detail. But it's a subtle detail, although I love those windows, those old ones, the way they are.
You know, I was speaking, but from my memory, what the windows are right now are that. So they would have to be getting new windows, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
And I think what they're proposing matches the house so much better.
Oh, it's an improvement.
And I think for me, because it's in conservation district and also because no one really can see that backyard, I see no reason why not to accept this as an uncommon situation. Also from my memory, because I'm just on Summit Street and I walk with my daughter all the time around that neighborhood. I've always seen the front of this house. And if I remember correctly, where the Summit House is that you guys face has a whole bunch of landscaping on the front of their house. So you can barely even see the Summit Street house, let alone see this backyard or anything close to what the backyard of this house looks like.
Yeah, this is Lewis. I agree with all of that. I think we have had a lot of projects where we discuss things and it's like, if it's on the rear of the house, we're a little more lenient on what happens. I don't think that's necessarily that's happening here. And it goes with the spirit of what we kind of want people to do, which is enjoy your home. Yeah. So that's where I land with that, I think. Any other comments from commission? Okay, if we are... Okay, yeah.
So do we need to amend the motion? Okay,
that's my
question. Russell, I amend the motion to remove...
So technically, the person who made the motion needs to amend it, or get rid of that motion.
This is going to go terribly. I apologize. So Villanueva moves to...
Approve.
You can say a new one.
Yeah.
Just start over again?
Mm-hmm. We're amending it, but you can state it so that you know what you're saying. That's
so
fine.
Wouldn't it be we just remove the first bullet for now?
Second.
The second one we want...
It's the second one needs to stay.
Oh. The garage windows.
The first one, though... I think you just need to state that you're gonna allow the picture windows without the divided light through an exception, the uncommon situations.
Okay.
Exception.
Yeah, you just need to state the exception, and based on the fact that you guys want them to come back if they want to propose smaller windows, then you would just basically leave this. We would approve it, and if they want to make that change, they could do a new application for those two windows, that we could make it more complete. They could get their COA so they could move forward with everything except for making those smaller, and we could deal with that later.
Does she need to give the reason for the exception or just saying there's an exception?
Yes.
Okay. I have an uncommon exception written down.
Oh, great.
That's fine. All right, let's do this. Villanueva moves to approve a certificate of appropriateness for the project at 521 Clark Street with the following conditions. The west-facing windows will allow a picture window without a divider through an uncommon exception, and both north-facing garage windows are retained unless evidence of deterioration is discovered.
Wagner seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Great.
That's it.
Thank you so much. Moving on to a report on certificates issued by the chair and staff, starting with certificates of no material effect at 1527 Muscatine Avenue.
A lot of these. You were busy.
I responded to you.
Okay, 1527 Muscatine is in the Dearborn Street Conservation District, and this house has had some work on the windows and trim and back porch, and they are repairing the stucco and a little bit more of the windows and trim. 803 East College Street. The project is actually the small barn that's in the top picture along the left. Water has been rushing at the side of it, and they needed to repair some siding, and then the little steps that go into it were just a precast concrete that they're going to repair. 314 East Davenport Street is a house that is a little gingerbread Victorian, but it has a bunch of asbestos siding and stuff on it. A poorly enclosed porch, and it'll get some repairs to the siding and the new roofing, a little repair to the brick foundation. 725 North Lynn Street in the Brown Street Historic District. This is actually a newer porch. I can't remember right now. It's been a long time since we reviewed this project. I think it was built in like the 80s, and it has spindles on the railing that are actually not, they don't comply with the guidelines. They're too narrow and too far apart. And so they have rotted because they're modern anyway, and so they're replacing them with properly sized ones. 1107 East College Street, they are just, this is just about the soffits on definitely the dormers, but I think also some of the rest of the house just needed replacement. We have another application, so that's why I was like confused for a second. 629 Brown Street. This is a house where the front porch was repaired last year, and it has changed hands. And now it is having work done on the shingle siding, which it really needed, some pointing of some of the brick, and some repair to the foundation on the garage. This little rental house, I think, also changed hands. That top picture, we're looking at an enclosed porch on the front there. That was open. But this has also some siding and soffit repair. For minor review, this is the little Spanish-style house on Grant Street, and the back of it has these interesting shingle-clad additions and stuff like that. And on the bottom photo, on the second floor, that little window that's in the middle, in the stucco part of the wall, is the bathroom window, and they just needed to replace that. It was a pocket replacement that was in the location. It was originally a double hung. This is also on Grant Street. This is a little Victorian that has synthetic siding and an enclosed tiny porch, and they're adding a stoop and step to it. It was approved with just straight spindles, and they recently wrote back because they want turned spindles. And so, again, we're making sure that they do the right dimension and spacing, but we did approve that because this house has some gingerbread and it would even be fancier under that siding. 829 Kirkwood, they're adding a stoop and step to the back door, that the orange door there, and they're also replacing the steps on the front porch. We did require that they maintain a set of steps from the front door to the front sidewalk on Kirkwood. They wanted to get rid of that set of steps, but it's always been there. I mean, not those actual pieces of wood, but a set of steps.
Yeah.
402 Ronald Street. Oh, yeah, this one changed hands, and they're removing all that synthetic siding. And we've given them a few little parameters. We expect that some of this will have to come back for some changes. There's been some window changes and stuff in there.
Is that a rental?
It will be, yes. It was purchased by someone who lives in the district and will not live in it. But I can't remember. She might be flipping it. It'll either be a rental again or she'll sell it.
Got it.
1050 Woodlawn just needed new shingles. 314 Fairchild Street. This is, as you can see with the house, the bay window on the left-hand side, around the corner on the bay window, this window needed to be replaced. Oops. Another one on Grant Street. This one was a little bit interesting because the house has very, very faded green shingles, and they wanted green shingles again. And we don't always approve green shingles. It was a very specific period of history where green and red shingles were very popular, and that was the 1930s. And it was particularly popular with a Cape Cod, which this happens to be. So they do get to have green shingles again.
What's the year of that house? Do you know? Is it?
I don't remember. 30s? It was some. Yeah, it was. It was sometime in the 30s, mm-hmm. But I can't remember right now if it was in the beginning or the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we expect it probably always had shingles.
Will they be architectural or three tab to get?
They will be architectural, so we're not going to go back to that. Like, not that dedicated.
Yeah.
There's a house at 917 Bowery that it's an old kind of Queen Anne, but a Gothic revival. So it's actually very old. But it had green shingles on it modern time, and they replaced them, and they found four layers of green shingles over multiple layers of wood shingles. So green shingles, they probably started getting them in the 30s when that came out. 430 Summit Street. So those two large columns, the bases of the columns, not the pedestals, the concrete block, but the bases needed to be repaired. This is an example of the masonry was painted, so it can no longer let the water out. The bases of the columns were replaced without allowing any drainage out either, and so they just basically stopped up and rotted from the inside. Jeez. And you can see that. 614 Clark Street. This is on the corner there of Clark and Seymour, and this used to be a Mennonite church. And I think it was about 2006, the current owner flipped it and actually was published in some magazine, I think a local magazine, because it was a very specific style of the interior. It almost was postmodern, really. It has multiple levels in the house. The little porch that you can see on the right-hand side was added. It replaced kind of like a awning and a stoop and step situation, you know, like the side entry to a church, basically. And this project, to increase some accessibility for the owner, they're only adding a stoop to that existing porch. So the little steps that you see will just move out further with a stoop in between. 505 Clark Street. This was just adding a small shed to the rear yard behind the garage. So there's the house, there's the garage, there's the shed.
Sounds good. Awesome. Moving on to consideration of minutes for November 20th, 2025.
So staff didn't get a chance to review them before they got into the packet, and we found many revisions. And so I'll just kind of highlight them right here real quick. So we need to correctly spell Peter Carell's name on paragraph 2, replacing "and two thin pieces" with "and two thin pieces," which is what was said. Adding D to change to make it past tense. Adding were because there was no verb there. Page 3 was just adding the fact that it was the drawing. The last one was a little bit longer one where the minutes basically had a sentence and it had two separate ideas and weren't connected at all. So I went back and watched. And so I changed that whole section, as you can see right there, so that we have that thought and then move on to the next thought. But it was about the steps on that house that we were talking about.
Wow.
On this one, just changing "and" to "or," adding the fact that I was the person who said that one, adding the fact that Anne said the next one, and there was some modification to that sentence. It was not quite right. So, and then finally, at the end, into "the fall" instead of "this fall," since it would be "next fall."
Wow, good copy editing.
Did you have any?
I didn't have any. I mean, I just look for my name and make sure that, oh, that's what I said. Yep, yeah. That's fine. But this is good.
So, so please, if you could approve it as amended.
Okay. Sounds good. Do we have any motions to approve that?
Russell, I make a motion to adopt the minutes as corrected in our presentation.
Wagner second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Sweet. Moving on to commission information. Is that a...
Don't really have any.
Okay.
So we can move on to discussion.
Sweet.
And the only reason this is on there is Andy and I had a little phone conversation about the because I needed to get back on the right page for the awards.
Same.
And so I will be sending out next week more information. We basically have a timeline. I'm going to reach out to the contractors. We will have our meeting in that. We're hoping to have our meeting to decide the awardees. Was it the 5th?
Maybe was the 5th that maybe
the 5th or 6th of January, if possible. It's right after break. The timing won't matter a whole lot to me as far as what time of day we can meet in our conference room upstairs where we have met before. So we can go after work if we need to. But I'll send out an email about that. But just to warn you that it was the 5th or 6th, something like that.
Yeah.
Because with the awards are, what, March 25th?
Yeah. March 25th, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we have time still, so that's not a problem, but...
We're scrunching the timeline a little bit, but it worked well last year, so we're hopeful that we can do it again.
Yeah. Cool. I have nothing to add to that, which is nice. Let us just adjourn and not vote on it. Apparently, we don't need to. Sweet. I'm saying we're adjourning.
Great.
You adjourneth us.
Yeah, I adjourneth everyone.